Welcome to the Stang Gang Podcast as we talk about Midwestern State football, the 1-0 Mustangs winning the season opener on Saturday night at Memorial Stadium, defeating Missouri Southern 30-23. Had as much as a 21-point lead in that game, but it didn't start out that well. You were behind 9-0, looked like they were going to go up 10-0. You block an extra point, return it for two, and the game changed right there. How did things turn around for Midwestern State?
Well, obviously, you know, being the first game, obviously there's going to be jitters, there's going to be nerves, and obviously having new players that we had, and obviously new coaches on the defense side of the ball, you know, there was still, you know what I mean, just that first game jitters and first game nervousness and what have you. And I just think that once we settled down as an offense, you know, having a new quarterback with Caden Brown and behind the helm, and as well as defensively with a new play caller behind there, I think that once we settled down a little bit and got that spark on that block, it really kind of just woke us up a little bit, and we started to take off, and it was nice to see. I don't think there was a panic on the sideline. I didn't feel the panic. I didn't feel like that, you know, here we go or whatever. You know, I didn't feel that. I felt like we all knew that even being down 10-0, that we were still going to be able to come back and make this a game, and how quickly we did from the 2 points that we got from the block. So now it's 9-2. Then we obviously get the ball and go down and score, and now it's 9-9. You know what I mean? And now it's a new ball game, and it's like you're resetting 0-0 again. And then, you know, obviously we just kept, you know, finally getting our niche and getting our groove. And I think that's what we needed. We just needed, you know, some positivity, some excitement, some, you know, playmaking ability and guys making plays. And that's the name of the game. And so once that happened, it just kind of sparked the whole team in all phases.
I think it's interesting what you say about the team didn't feel panic, because I think there was kind of a pull amongst the fan base when you fell behind early, thinking, oh no, here we go again. But the team didn't let that happen. And what I hear you saying is you didn't feel that on the sideline with the team.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, it was very positive. You know, a lot of our, you know, upperclassmen, senior leaders, obviously did a great job of staying positive and continuing to root, you know, the whatever phase was out there on the field. And when that happened, and again, you know, we as a team, you know, again, we still got to bring some more juice, and we've got to have some more excitement on the sideline. But at least the mindset was, you know what I mean? Hey, let's play the next play. Let's go.
Why do you need that on the sideline?
Well, I think a lot of times, sometimes you get complacent. I think sometimes you kind of, you know, just get, you know, not falling asleep, but you just kind of, you know, just kind of get relaxed. And I think that's what happened to us in the fourth quarter defensively. I think we got a little too relaxed. We were up 30-9. And I think, you know, that can't happen. A great football team, as they are, you know, are going to come back, or they're going to make plays, and they're going to score quickly and have the ability to score quickly. And so, you know, you've got to keep the hammer down. You've got to keep, you know, making the plays that you should. And again, defensively, I think we, you know, Coach Coleman, you know, and the defensive staff had to make a lot of adjustments. They did a great job making adjustments. And I think we had to make some adjustments too, which made us have to work. And I think that was good, because that helped us grow as a staff defensively and seeing the situations as we were trying different things out, you know, giving different looks. And so with all that said, I felt good about, again, even though the game started to get close and what have you. But then the offense, you know, they were still moving the football, and they were still doing the things they were doing. And then until that fumble that we got there at the end, when I say we got, that they caused on us, that we were getting, I felt like we were getting ready to score again.
Yeah, no, it certainly looked that way.
And then all of a sudden the momentum changed, and I thought the defense right there did a really good job of going three and out after the sudden change. You know, we always talk about sudden changes and situational football, and that sudden change there was crucial, because they could have had, they had the momentum. You know, I challenged it with the flag. unfortunately, they couldn't see the end zone copy. And so they could only go from the sideline, and it was very inconclusive. So they said they had to, you know, rule with the call on the field. But it allowed at least that break, and that timeout allowed for, I felt, some, you know, a little bit of the pendulum of motivations, you know, swing a little bit, stop, and allowed everybody to calm down, regroup. Defense went three and out. Offense got the ball. We got a first down to run the clock out in our 4-minute drill, and obviously did not get it. Had a bad snap on the third down, and it kind of lost a few yards. And then – You know, managing the clock was crucial. You know, obviously with our timeouts and running the clock all the way down to 1 second to try to, you know, minimize the amount of time they had and us punting the ball. And I knew, you know, us punting the ball, they were going to come after it because they needed a block to make a play. And to be honest with you, you know, we had a fake ready to go in the second half, and we just never got the look to run it. And I thought about running it there, and I thought, you know what, let's let the defense, let's punt it, and you know, play it safe. And so we did, and obviously they had a good return, and so we have to get that corrected on our special teams, and we've got to obviously punt it to the right versus the left. But nevertheless, we got the punt off, and Kenji Johnson made a great tackle there to save a touchdown. And then obviously we got down to one second on the clock, so they had one play, and we were able to hold them out of the defense, which, again, I talked about situational football, and we do that on Thursdays, you know, 20 for 20 that I learned my first year when we got beat up at Western Colorado. We had 20-yard line, first and 10, had to score a touchdown to win the game, and we go, you know, four straight plays of one quarterback draw and three incomplete passes, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And next thing you know, we don't come back with a win against Western Colorado. So I've instilled that on Thursdays, and we do that, and it came up, you know, there, even though it wasn't 20 seconds, it was 1 second. And so, you know, we were ready for that. And so I felt good about the situation that we were in, and I felt good that Mustangs were going to pull it out.
And they did pull it out. And I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said, it looks like we've got a quarterback. And Caden Brown certainly was impressive. He completed 32 of 38 passes for 390 yards, two touchdowns, just the one interception early that led to their first touchdown. But what was your assessment of the quarterback play?
Well, I thought he did a really, really good job. You know, he's very talented, and we knew that, you know, obviously why we recruited him. We tried to recruit him a couple years ago, and obviously didn't get him. He went, you know, obviously with his dad, and then obviously went Division One. But very fortunate, very lucky to have him. He's a, you know, competitor. He does a great job, you know, in the pocket and scrambling and running the football. He's very tough. I mean, he took some shots Saturday night.
Including one on his last carry as he tried to get that first down, which would have iced the game. We saw him limp off the field. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's a little banged up, obviously, from all the hits he's took. And rushing the ball 14 times doesn't help things. But, you know, he's a competitor. He's going to be fine. And no major damage there, so that's good. And he didn't hurt his arm or anything, so he can still throw and he can still move in the pocket and then he can still manage the game. So he's doing really well. But obviously we've got Sean Jastrup as well. You know, they're waiting in the wings that can go in at any moment and probably should have played him a little bit, you know what I mean, just to get him some reps in there and get him ready to go. But nevertheless, I feel pretty good about our quarterback situation as well.
I think there was a lot of things that impressed me about the way Caden played, but the way he was able to buy time, the one touchdown pass where he was rolling out to the left, just perfectly had a perfect touch pass, floated it out there, receiver caught it in stride and went all the way to the end zone. He seems very comfortable in the pocket.
Most definitely he is, and he's not afraid back there. And like I said, and he has really good vision to look downfield and find those talented receivers that we have. And those guys can all run, and that's what makes us dangerous, is that, you know, we can score quickly with the talent that we have, whether it's rushing the football or whether it's throwing the football. And so I think that, and then obviously him being able to run the football, he scores a touchdown too,
right,
on a third and one play and down there at the goal line. And so, he just brings another dimension to the game. Like I told you, all our quarterbacks have different qualities and talents that they bring to the offense.
You mentioned the talented receivers. You had a couple of receivers who caught every pass that was thrown their direction, and I think Dominic Cox was one of those, and he caught 10 passes. Mm-hmm. I think maybe he was targeted 11 times, but he caught 10 passes for 81 yards. I think 9 different receivers caught a pass in that game. So that's going to make Midwestern State pretty tough to defend. And then throw on top of that the fact that Joseph Dodds was able to run the ball. Now, the rushing numbers aren't eye-popping, but Dodd's numbers are really good. He averaged more than 5 yards a carry.
Most definitely. He's a very talented running back. We're lucky to have him, you know, here at Midwestern State. And we just got him going in the second half, you know, where we really got a chance to, start wearing down their defensive line a little bit with our offensive line opening the holes. And I think, again, our coaches are going to get better on the offense with running the football and finding those mismatches as well as those, it's always a numbers game. You know what I mean? When you got 11 guys out there, there's either going to be five in the box or six in the box. And that determines whether you're throwing it to the perimeter or you're handing it off inside. And so, when Dodds had that opportunity, he made the most of it, had some really hard runs and some tough runs, which was really, really good to see.
He was really good at getting what they call those dirty yards when he's having to run between the tackles and getting 3 or 4 yards and keeping you ahead of the chains.
Most definitely. And that's why we, brought him in here, because we knew he was that type of guy. And so again, we're just, I'm thankful he's here, and he has great hands out of the backfield. He can do a lot of things. He's very talented.
When you went back and looked at the film, how did you assess the offensive line play?
I thought the offensive line play was most improved. Like we thought, with those bigger bodies and what have you. I think Missouri Southern's defensive line was very good as well. I think they had a really good stud defensive end that they got, a transfer that came in, that was probably as good as the defensive end at Western Colorado last year. That went as a free agent in the pros. I think he's very, very talented. He gave us some fits. And their D-line, did a great job twisting and canceling gaps out to where, our running back's vision wasn't as clear and as you'd want it to be. But again, I thought they did a great job, picking that stuff up. And I thought they did a good job for the most part, of protecting Cade, in the pocket. There was a few times, like I said, that he had to, get out of the pocket and scramble a little bit and make some plays. But for the most part, they did a really good job. So I was proud of them. Coach Preston does a great job, him and Coach Wright, with the O-line.
What about the defense? I know that was kind of the big question mark coming into the season, was how much could Midwestern State improve defensively? What did you see on that side of the ball?
Well, I think obviously our D-line, we finally got a sack. We didn't wait till game two to get a sack. I think we got a sack, and multiple sacks, obviously, that first game, which is huge.
And Oliver Jack got two tackles for losses. Got a sack and a tackle for loss as well.
Most definitely. And he was a linebacker for us last year, so we moved him down to defensive end, and he's really come on for us this year. So obviously the D-line has improved, and we've got depth there, which is nice to see. Linebacker-wise, I think we've improved too. We've gotten better at linebacker. And then secondary, is still – we need to have the most improvement. We Bryson Lewis had a big pick, after we had that momentum swing go our way after we scored and tied it up 9-9. And then obviously he picks it off, and that was another momentum swing there for us to help us kind of take the lead. And so he's back there with Donnie Smith and some new faces with Jake Petusik is back there as well that played for us last year. So he's got a year under his belt. And then Dishman did a really good job this, obviously running that block kick back for 2 points, but also two covering all day long. And I think he had one pass interference, and Jake had a pass interference that we've got to get corrected. But for the most part, they've done a really good job of locking down the outside. And we've got to do a better job in the middle with the linebackers and their drops and in the safeties where they kind of hit us this week or this past week with Missouri Southern. And so, we'll work on that and get better with that as the week goes on.
Not my job to defend those guys, but one of those was kind of a borderline call on the pass interference.
Most definitely. But, again, it's called. It's called.
And then I was just double checking, but I think all told you had 4 tackles for loss. Those are huge just in terms of forcing teams into, longer third downs.
Most definitely. I think that's, that's the big thing, is us getting off the field on third down, which I thought we did a better job of this first game, as well as, the field position. I think, us – moving the ball offensively, obviously, and not always pinned down on our side of the 50, but also too, like you said, going 3 and out and getting those tackle for losses, making them punt, giving our offense a short field, really helped out as well.
I'll tell you what, the kickers like kicking with that south wind at their back. Every kickoff was a touchback there in the first quarter, and everybody was starting at their own 25-yard line.
Most definitely, and I think that's huge. Obviously, that was a point of emphasis I felt that we needed, was not only with the punt team, but also too with the kickoff team and the kickoff return team, those 3 areas of the 6, and field goal block. You know what I mean? So, I mean, special teams came up huge to, you know, as a starter for, you know, kickstarting the team with the field goal block. Coach Leonard runs that and did a great job with that. And then obviously, you know, when you've got Cohen that's kicking the ball out of the end zone, you know, is huge. You know, when you got the wind to your back and kind of how it all played out, where we didn't have the wind to our back the first quarter, they did, and they had a really good kicker, probably one of the best we'll see. And then obviously in the second quarter, once, you know, things settled down and we started scoring and we started kicking off, you know, that definitely helped Cohen. I mean, I think one of them hit 11, you know, out of the end zone, you know, a yard out of the end zone. So it went, you know, a lot farther than normally he kicks it. But because of that, obviously that helps so much to pin that offense back there, you know, from a defensive mindset. So the fans can understand that is that, you know, field position is crucial, you know, and the percentages go down the farther or the closer they are to their end zone versus our end zone.
And I know, so, your predecessor always talked to me about each yard line is a percentage. So if they start at their own 1 yard line, they got a 1% chance of scoring and just go down the field that way. So certainly it is a field position game. And I'm glad you mentioned Asher Huffman, their kicker, because he was impressive. We were watching him in pregame warmups. He was kicking them from 60 yards out, and he hit the back wall. Now, not on the fly, but on his first kickoff, on a bounce, it hit the back wall at Memorial Stadium. There's quite a bit of room between the end zone and that back wall on the north side there. So he has a cannon for a leg.
He does. He's very talented, and he was there last year for him and did a great job. And it's, that's why I was, you know, we were fortunate to block his kick because he, you know, the timing and just the kicks and everything else, he does a really good job. And so for us to block, I think it even shocked him.
Also, fortunately, you had a touchdown lead at the end because they got the ball at like the 26 at the end, and they weren't able to just trot him out to kick a game-winning field goal for you. So a lot of good things happened for Midwestern State. What's your biggest concern coming out of the opening week?
Well, the biggest concern is the penalties. You know, obviously, I think a lot of those penalties, you know, we had 12 penalties to that.
A lot of those were dead ball penalties, too.
They were, and I think a lot of them were from, you know, us trying to go fast, you know, and just trying to get everybody on the same page, the O-line trying to communicate and quarterback wanting to get the ball and snap it as quick as possible and get the ball out. And I just feel like that, you know, we improved on that in the second half. We didn't have
absolutely
any of those, but we had some defense penalties and we had that personal foul there that got them to the 26 yard line from the 40 or what have you, 41, you know, could have, you know, hurt us, obviously, if they complete that pass from the 26-yard line, where if you're now shooting from the 40, it's a lot farther throw, and it's a lot different than the 26. But luckily, we were able to hold on. And, again, just correcting those costly penalties, because, you know, those undisciplined penalties to begin with, and hopefully we'll improve that in the second week.
Let's talk about Michigan Tech. I know you've got a grueling trip. This is a home-and-home series. I know we tried to put this trip off as long as we could, but eventually you got to pay him back for coming here a couple of years ago. What's the biggest challenge playing Michigan Tech this week?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is their quarterback. Their quarterback's very athletic, loves to run the football and can throw it. You know, he's a lot like Caden Brown that we have. So obviously with us, you know, going against Caden Brown definitely helps, but he's very, very talented, tough kid, you know, plays hard. And like I said, is a really good gamer. I would say this team does not make mistakes. They're well coached. They play hard. They're physical, and they've had success over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years that you know, that head coach has been there, and since he's been there, they've had success. And so they're a very good, well coached, well organized program, and obviously, you know, us are still trying to find our way and in a sense of our identity and finding us, you know, and just improving. So, you know, obviously, you know, we're not hitting on all cylinders, where, you know, I think they're probably a little bit ahead of us in that aspect. And so we've got to, you know, obviously come out and play our best game.
You talk about their talented quarterback and Caden giving you some success. How are they in terms of running the football? Because when I think of those schools up there, they usually are able to run the football successfully. You think of 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Most definitely. They do a really good job. Their O-linemen aren't overly big. But they do a great job because they're well coached, and in the schemes that they play with their tight ends, and try to get gap schemes that they try to open, you know, open the gaps and try to get you outnumbered. And again, if they run hard, so if you miss a tackle, obviously they're going to get those cloud of dust yards that you talk about, those hidden yardage. And so we've got to, you know, be great tacklers. We've got to be able to get off blocks. We've got to be able to get lined up. We've got to be able to, you know, match the physicality defensively that they have. And then they're going to zone pressure us and mix the coverages up against our offense. You know what I mean? And so we've got to be able to pick up all the zone pressure blitzes, as well as be able to break tackles and use our speed, which I feel is our advantage, you know what I mean, to, against them. Because I wouldn't say they're slow, but they're not – I don't know if they're as you know, as fast as our receivers are. And so, again, we've got to be able to catch the ball. We've got to be able to, you know, break tackles, and we've got to be able to put the ball in the end zone.
How would you grade your team's tackling in week one?
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was horrible, but I mean, there was a lot of missed tackles. And
it seemed like you did a pretty good job pursuing the football, though, and if they did break a tackle, there was somebody else there.
Most definitely, and I think we've got a lot of team speed. I think we're faster than we were last year, and again, we've got to be more aggressive and more physical defensively than we were. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, Missouri Southern was a physical team. They were a good team. They're in the MIAA, so that was a great test for us going into this week with Michigan Tech.
It's the last non-conference game. Is there? I know winning is the primary objective. Is there any other objective this week?
Well, I think that, you know, just us getting better, you know, getting 1% better each and every day, and us, you know, worrying about us more than anybody else. And again, I just think, you know, Michigan Tech is a great test for us because, again, they are a good football team, very well coached, very, I wouldn't say athletic, but they were very strong and very physical, and they have a great scheme that they've been running for years. And so, you know, they know the nuances and the fixes and the adjustments they need to make along there. So it's going to be great for our coaches. For our adjustments and how we respond, but also too, it's going to be great, you know, for our kids and how they handle the, you know, that type of team.
Well, it was great seeing Midwestern State start off the season 1-0. Let's make it 2-0 on this trip to Michigan, Coach.
Most definitely. Let's go Mustangs.
That's Rich Renner, the head football coach at Midwestern State University. And this is the Stang Gang Podcast. Tell your friends about the podcast and be sure to make your plans to be at Memorial Stadium for the next home game, which is coming up. That'll be the conference opener against Western New Mexico on September 19th. That's a 6 o'clock kickoff. Midwestern State's at Michigan Tech this week, and that's an 11 o'clock start Central Time. It's noon there in Michigan, but it'll be an early start for the Mustangs this week, and that will be available for you on Flow College. I'm Pete Stein. So long.